The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Thursday morning. Well, it's a big day because, of course, we're getting closer to the Eagles and Panthers, but that's not really the thing. You know, today the Lions and the Packers tonight, that is a... Wow, is that an important game for the Eagles? So we'll talk a lot about the Birds. They're obviously soaring, but we really want to see them get that one seed. Tonight's game has got big implications for that. Now, the Sixers, I'm going to step out on the limb here and say they will not get the one seed in the Eastern Conference. I'm just taking a stab at it.
Oh, good.
They lose again last night, again without Joel Embiid, and this time to the freaking Magic. Flyers back at it tonight. All right, all of it with you on your phone lines as well. 215-592-9494. Richard Rich, what's going on, pal?
Oh, hi, Joe.
Hey, pal.
Antarctica is the only continent without reptiles or snakes.
Yeah, a lot of frozen
Makes
tundra
sense.
There. A lot of
no
frozen tundra.
No reptiles or snakes is pretty crazy, though. It's an entire continent. There's no reptiles. There's no snakes. If you're one of those who has some, I don't know, fears.
Go to Antarctica.
Antarctica is the place for you.
Yeah. I'm just reeling from the fact that you don't think the Sixers can come back from the 13 games back that they already are. They're 13 games back in the one seed.
James, ready for this? I'm actually surprised it's not higher.
I thought about it.
Because they were like 10 out. In like 11 games, they were 10 out or something.
13 back
from the
one seed.
Tickets were going for $2.
I know. It's pathetic
dollars.
And sad.
It's both those things.
Because it doesn't, like, on one hand, it kind of makes me happy because I want them to feel the burn and the shame. On the other hand, none of us want this. You know what I mean? Like, you want them to feel it, but you don't want us to feel it. So
we're the collateral damage.
We are.
I know.
No, we really are. All right. So look, we'll get to the Sixers. Obviously, there's some interesting elements there, but it's been a similar thing to the Bynum year. Except it's more important because it's Joel, and it's really got awful implications. So it's on the table, but so too are the Eagles, 215-592-9494. You know, John, one of the things I'd say in the last week or two that has really picked up and was not warranted in October and was, I thought, barely warranted even from a discussion point in November, for at least the bulk of November, is how this team stacks up to the squad from 2 years ago. You know, the Eagles obviously 2 years ago had a historic team. They rampaged through the regular season, just rampaged. They rampaged through the playoffs until the third quarter of the Super Bowl. I mean, they crushed the Giants, they crushed the 49ers, and they were crushing the Chiefs until they didn't hit a brick wall and things fell apart. And it is a worthy...
Until orbit motion.
Well, it wasn't just that. It was the field, it was the flag,
Come
it was
on,
the fumble.
Touchdowns, though. But it coincided
that
with
was part
orbit
of it.
Motion.
That was part
oh,
of it.
Oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
That scores a touchdown, and then the very next time, it wasn't it the two touchdowns in a row?
It was, but there was the jump off sides, there was the Gainwell got stuffed on third and one.
There was the fumble,
there was
so many things,
yeah.
Right.
But here's my point. It is a worthy discussion. Has this team, which I can tell you a freaking month ago I didn't think they would be, has this team gotten to that team? Has this team surpassed that team? Like, John, 2024 Eagles, and this goes for everyone at 215-592-9494. 2024 Eagles versus 2022 Eagles. Mm-hmm. Now, John, I'm still riding 2022, but I'm hearing more people say 24. Where do you stand, John, with how these squads would match up and whether our team this year is actually better than 2 years?
I don't want to put the cart before the horse and say anything blasphemous here.
Okay.
Because I know it's just regular season. I know the 2022 team took it all the way to the grand finale, the biggest game, the one that really matters, and they lost. So I don't want to diminish that, but I think this team's better than 2022's team. I think this 2024 team, led by this rushing attack,
it's a monster.
Led by this defensive wall, and quite honestly, just attitude. The defensive youth and attitude, the youth, the ignorance that comes with it, and the ass kicking that is Jalen Carter and the rest of these young guys. I know that they are supposed to slow down at some point, but then we heard from Nick Sirianni, they've all got individual plans. I was one who hit the rookie wall. I was a rookie who was starting, who was playing, and it blindsided me. But we did not have the 2024 cutting-edge technology where they trace this stuff. They weren't monitoring my every, whatever.
And we're really talking about two players, because Jalix Hunt, I don't think, plays enough to worry about that too much. It's really you're talking about Mitchell and DeJean.
But Jalix Hunt is actually another young player who is encouraging me to say, hey, this year, 2024, is going to be the year where it makes us forget about 2022. That's what this year represents.
Look, that would be an incredible thing.
This team has surpassed the 2022 team already in my eyes in terms of consistency because of their ability to lean heavily into the run game and willingness to lean heavily into the run game. And Saquon is the difference maker, obviously, offensively.
Yeah, there's no replication of him back then. It just
offensive
didn't exist.
Line, the fact that we did not lose traction at the center position that so many people felt we would. You know, this is the second year now where we've seen Cam outperform everyone's expectations as a guard first and now as a center.
He's doing great.
He's unbelievable. This guy is an ass kicker like Kelsey, handpicked by Kelsey. It's all paying off, guys. It really is. And every one of these offensive linemen, they're doing special like profiles of them when I'm watching football specials. Look at the fact that the Eagles offensive line, they can do all these crazy things with them because they're so athletic. Well, they're also really well coached. The fact that we pull our center, the fact that we pull both guards, the fact that we pull both tackles, and they are gigantic people. While their athleticism, that balanced with the gigantic size, it's so intimidating. It's so dominant. This offensive line is going to, in conjunction with Saquon's brilliance, it's part of why we are better now than we were in 2024.
Yeah, look, I think Saquon is the clear biggest difference on the positive side for this year. There's
but
nobody.
Think about the defensive attitude also, Joe.
But that
our
was a great day.
Our defense knows how awesome it is. Our defense knows that they can cover anybody. They know that they're going to tackle everybody the first try.
Yeah.
They know that they're going to intimidate people just by the fact that they hit you harder than other defenses hit you. I love that part about us.
Yeah, here's the thing. I think the biggest thing on the defense this year compared to 2022, and I liked Jonathan Gannon. I thought he was pretty good. I thought the people were unfair to him and dogged him, but Fangio is way more accomplished.
Yeah.
He's just better.
And in a big game, or not in a big game, he is very likely just better.
I just trust him more.
Yeah.
Like going into the Super Bowl, while I agree with you, I thought Gannon was probably better than he got credit for.
Yep.
We didn't go into into the Super Bowl concerned that Gannon could be an issue.
That's fair.
I have no concerns with Vic Fangio.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair way to frame it. Look, I'm curious where everyone stands this year versus 2 years ago. I mean, let's, and 215-592-9494, know this. 2 years ago, and maybe I went too far, okay? Maybe I did. 2 years ago, I said at various points of that season that I thought it was the best Eagles team I had seen. And by the way, a lot of people said that. And obviously the team's that it was in comparison to was the title-winning team 2017, the almost title-winning team of 2004. I was too young for the 80 team, couldn't speak to that before, but really for me it was 17, it was 22, it was 04, figure out an order. And at a certain point, because of what a machine they were 2 years ago, I mean, they were a machine. I thought, I think This is the best Eagles team I had seen. The 70 sacks 2 years ago was remarkable. However, you do have to take it with a bit of a grain of salt because they played bum quarterback, bum quarterback, bum quarterback, bum quarterback. It was like, it was nuts.
And they were always out in front. We talked about it, but they would get to big leads every single game.
They played differently. Look, Hurts, I think, was better. You guys know where I stand on Jalen. He's better than he was a month ago, but I don't think he's where he was 2 years ago. So that's a big one. I don't think the front four is as good right now as it was 2 years ago. Jalen Carter's the best of the whole group. Front four 2 years ago, front four now. He's probably better than Reddick was, and that's saying something because Reddick was a freaking monster two years ago.
He was a defensive player of the year candidate.
He finished third, yeah. I believe. Yeah, so when I say Jalen Carter I think is better than Reddick, that is going somewhere, okay? But that group I think was a better group. You know, the pass rushers back then, I did believe, you know, you had Fletcher, you had a little bit more, I think. But look, the Saquon thing's a compelling argument, John.
They are surprising. This D-line in the last month has sort of sprung up and bitten me like Cupid. Like the love bug has bitten me with these guys.
John,
they're tough.
Better blitzing linebackers. I mean, Bond is better than T.J. Edwards.
Zach Bond is the craziest hybrid defender I've ever seen. I don't even know what that is.
Let me ask this question. Because I'm almost talking myself into this year. And believe me, I hope through the show to talk myself into this year because that would make me happy. But
Zach
I'm not
Bond
there. No, I know. But here's why I'm not there yet. And I want everyone to just keep it real today and ask yourself this question. At this stage 2 years ago and this stage right now, which team did you have greater confidence in to win the Super Bowl? And for me, it's not even close. Like, I was locked in. Now, look, they didn't do it. So you can say, all right, Joe, well, your horse's ass. You thought it and you were wrong. And I guess that's true. But I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I had more confidence 2 years ago in the Eagles than right now. Would you disagree with that, John? Because when you say 2 years ago, you're not always the best on memory. James, would you agree with that? 2 years ago, more confidence, like Eagles, inside track 2 years ago, this year Eagles one of about four squads. Fair?
I do think that's fair. Yes, but
But the schedule contributed to that.
But we also, it's not like
they don't have the one seed right now either.
We also didn't think the Chiefs, like we still knew the Chiefs were around. Yeah. It wasn't like it was the Eagles and this is it. Like we thought they were the best team, but we definitely knew the Chiefs were around. I think it's we didn't take the Niners as seriously as we take the Lions. I think that's part of it.
So I don't agree with that, but I think the problem is the one seed. They don't have it yet. Mm-hmm. And they may not get it.
That's part of it. No, I think that's part of it.
Because they held the one seed the whole season.
But
the whole time they had the one
seed.
Yeah, from
the jump.
Yeah, and that's what's so unique about this time. I do think the way it's all shaping up, it's clear that the Lions are poised to let this slip away. Their injuries, their schedule down the stretch, that it is a really tough road for them and sort of a, breeze for us. I hate to say that. I don't want to jinx it.
Right.
It looks so different. Right now, we are strong. The Lions, are weak, and they are struggling to hang on.
I wouldn't say weak, but they are
losing their grip.
They're losing some steam. And that's why tonight's game is so fascinating and, of course, very important. All right.
I expect them to lose tonight.
Well, that's great. Where do you stand on this year's Eagles squad versus 2 years ago? Have they passed them? I mean, God, if they have, that's amazing. And I would say unexpected. All right, good morning to you. Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. All right, so the Eagles thing on the table totally. 2022 versus this year. Which team you think is better? Now, let's also just kind of introduce the Sixers thing a little bit as well, because they lost again last night. They lost without Joel. They lost without Paul George. James, what are we to do as a fan base with this? Like, what do you feel today?
You're not going to like what I have to say.
Okay.
You know, check out, man. Like, don't pay attention right now. Honestly.
Well, a lot of people are not.
I think it's the right move. I mean, it's a bad product.
It's a horrible product.
And it's not fun, you know?
No.
And honestly, like, they depress me more than they lift me up. Sports are supposed to be fun. We take our time that we work, we do all these things in life, we have families, we pay money to go to these games, to support these teams and all that. Like, there should be something back. You're not going to win a lot of championships here. We get that. But, like, there should be some fun. There should be some return to us. And this organization, like, makes it no fun, both with the product and the way they treat us. Yeah. And it makes it hard to get excited.
No, it's well said. Well, look, I'll ask everyone at 215-592-9494 how you feel now after the latest loss. Another game with Joel not playing. No commitment that'll play tomorrow night. They have the fourth worst record in basketball. Rhea, how do you feel?
You know what they say about karma, don't you?
Yes.
I mean, it's just, you know, what James said there, the fact that Daryl Morey, I mean, he's on milk cartons at this point as his team is going down in flames and they've put everything on the coach. I don't particularly like how he coached the previous game, but last night, I mean, you were also missing Kyle Lowry and Andre Drummond. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they... And the thing is, here's the sad part about it. Tyrese Maxey and Jeremy, they're so likable.
Yeah.
I mean, Kelly Oubre Jr., I like watching him. I'm a fan. And this, it's like a dark cloud is, oh, well, Joel might play on Friday. Yeah, okay. I mean, he's in another ramp-up period.
Yeah.
They're a really frustrating organization.
Totally. And then, John, here's another reality.
I love watching McCain. I love watching Maxey. But it has gotten to the point where it's tragic watching McCain and Maxey out there just floundering at times because we're not good. They don't have the help. Like Paul George and Joel?
Yeah.
No Paul George or Joel.
It is a little disappointing, though, that Maxey can't do more when they need him to. That's been an early season disappointment.
What can he do with that? With last night's game.
He didn't get calls at the end of the game. But here's what I'd say. If he's really a top 20 player, I'd like him to be able to do more.
It did feel
like
Believe
me, he's the last guy on my list.
Bang your head against the brick wall and it's doing nothing and you lose anyway. Yeah. That was frustrating.
By the way, they've now gotten through a quarter of the season, if you don't know. 5-15.
That's incredible.
I mean, in the next game, they cross over it, but they're 20 games into an 82-game season. So they're basically at the quarter point. And they got 5 wins. They're on pace for like 21 wins. Let's go to the phones.
God, when you say that,
right?
It hurts.
Yeah, they're on pace for 20 or 21, whatever the math would be.
Joel's on pace for how many games?
Well, 4 times 4, so 16.
Can you imagine if he only played 16 games?
Dude, Andrew Bynum, Seltzer, he played 0 that
one
year.
But that's just him playing. My point is, if Embiid plays 16 or 20 or whatever, it's this all season. You know, it's a different thing with Embiid. It was like he's just done. Like, this is, maybe he's playing 5 games later. He plays 1. And then that's what it would take to get to 16 or 20, and that would be just the worst.
And let me give you a Bynum comparison that's really scary. As frustrated, and we were so aggravated with their messaging and the reality that Bynum, like, okay, maybe next month, maybe next month, maybe next month. But here's one thing I will say in his and their defense back then. His career was screwed. He actually was injured and never was good again.
Ever.
Played like another year or two, hobbled around with the Pacers, was done. That's the fear with Joel. Like, Joel might be close to done. Now, I know they're trying to salvage it, but and we don't know. Maybe not. But I'm just saying, like, that is a real possibility, in my opinion. Because, I mean, otherwise, why don't you take the floor at some point? 215-592-9494. All right, let's get to the phones. 2022 Eagles versus this year's squad. Sixers, your reaction. David in Vineland. David, good morning.
Morning.
What's going on, buddy?
I just want to say I think this team is better than the 2022 team.
That's right, David. Because, you are correct. I agree.
Well, I felt definitive, John, is about this.
I mean, it's
kind of a toss-up, but I do lean in the other direction.
The defense is more fundamentally sound.
This one?
Across the board.
And the defense was wonderful.
Slay and Bradbury were really good, guys.
That was awesome.
Those guys were great.
But remember, it was kind of like, wait a second. We're setting records and stuff? That doesn't seem like we're really sacking that many quarterbacks.
Well, they did, but the quarterback stunk. David, I want to give you a shot. Go ahead, man. Give me your argument.
Yeah, well, so they did have, 70 sacks. Yeah. But teams could score against the 2022. Seems like nobody could score against.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I think the bigger thing is if they had faced more good teams, how much more would teams have scored? I mean, the reality is they faced so few good teams. And then there were circumstances like they'd play Carolina, who wasn't good, but McCaffrey would be out. And then they played Dallas with Dak, and Dak would be out. Like, they had a, there was a lot of circumstantial things that helped them.
Serendipitous.
It was.
That season. But I believe this 2024 season, this team can power through these scheduling snafus, even if they're not serendipitous.
Listen, that's where, and I'll say this, David, the game the Eagles played against Baltimore the other day, that team 2 years ago had no game like that.
Mm-hmm. No.
There was game. I mean, if anything, maybe the hardest challenge maybe was at Dallas near the end of the year, which Eagles lost, but Jalen didn't play, so you can't size it up the same way. I mean, winning at Baltimore,
this team,
that was a big accomplishment,
that absolutely
man.
Is.
Big.
And I feel like this team can power through anybody. This team can power through anyone, that 2022 Eagles team included, if we could match them up in some magical mystery field.
Step right on up. Good morning to you. Well, Saquon Barkley's been stepping right on up. He has been unbelievable, and he has a legitimate shot this year to break Eric Dickerson's rushing record for a single season. Here's where it's at right now. Through 12 games for Saquon, he's at 1,499 yards, which, by the way, is third in Eagles team history, and he's got a really good shot with 108 yards. He'll pass LeSean McCoy this upcoming weekend for number one. So anyway, 1,499 for Saquon so far. Dickerson back in 1984 was 2,105. So right now, Saquon's on pace for it because he's on pace for 21-23, and that would get him the record by 24 yards. So very, very cool. So let me tell you who's going to be a guest on today's show, you know, coming up in about 3 hours.
He needs 6 yards, everybody, for a National Football League single-season rushing record, and they're all on their feet for
He's got it, and a brand new single-season rushing record for the outstanding star from Southern Methodist.
2,007 yards. Nobody has ever done it better.
Well, no one ever has, but maybe this year someone will. I mean, Saquon's got a shot, so we're really excited to have Eric Dickerson on the program today. If you're young, just know this. He was one of the great running backs of the 1980s, one of the great running backs of all time, ninth in NFL history in rushing, and that was his second year. Like, he burst onto the scene. I mean, he was unbelievable in the early years. I think Jackie Slater was one of his linemen, but he was right out of the gate. Of course, Johnny had the distinctive look with the goggles, his whole thing, and just a tremendous, tremendous career. So, John, nice job by you. Seltzer, Richie got on it yesterday during the show. James, you get the assist as well, and you guys together get Eric Dickerson on the program.
It? Look at this.
How about it?
I would have thought.
Who would have thought after 8 years, John would realize he could tap into his Rolodex and actually bring
Shout
guests.
Out to Adam. Adam helped out. Richie sent me Adam's number. I got in touch with Adam.
Adam got me
in touch with Eric Dickerson.
Nice.
Yes. And the magic happened. I spoke to Eric Dickerson yesterday.
Oh, good deal. All right, so 9:30 today, Dickerson on the program. Now, Ree, I need a prediction.
Yes.
When we ask him this question directly, are you rooting for Saquon Barkley to break your record or not? What will be his answer?
That's a tough one. He was a character.
Mm-hmm. I would not want someone to break my record. I'm just being honest.
We know. Here, I think he's going to say yes.
The reason I
don't
think
know, James. I don't know about that.
Here's the thing is, if you had asked maybe a younger Eric Dickerson, I think his answer would be no. I think an older Eric Dickerson will say yes.
We'll say. John, what's your gut feeling on that? Let me put it this way. John, would you want someone to break your record? A big record?
Absolutely not. There's no way in hell.
I agree.
Why? No. What's gratifying about that? I sacrificed and worked my whole life. This was my stamp I put on this game.
Right.
2105. What an achievement in 1984. It still stands.
Still stands. 40 years, man.
Standing the test of time. What an incredible achievement.
Right.
Everyone knows Eric Dickerson. And no, I mean, I would hope that everyone would fall short. I mean,
you guys
look
are
at the
bad
Miami
guys.
Dolphins. Look at the Miami Dolphins every
James.
Year.
Records are
toasting.
Made to be broken.
It's called life,
They're
toasting
James. Champagne when teams lose the teams who are good that look like they might
and
have a chance
it's
to
a
go
little petty, right? I mean, little petty.
You know what? I mean,
I don't
72
blame him.
Dolphins. I mean, Shula died before someone did it. Good for him.
And everybody thinks they're petty.
Man, it's so petty. It's so petty.
All right, so look, we'll ask you, though, if you were in that position. So we are looking forward to having Dickerson on the program 9:30 today. But I'll just sprinkle in, if you were he, would you want someone to break your record or not? It's a fascinating human dynamic. Where would you stand on that? 215-592-9494. Hopefully, at the very least, he is a back for Barkley, backing Saquon Barkley's MVP candidacy, which certainly we'll talk to him about today as well. By the way, when you call in, chance to win a cool prize, because, of course, we've got the Kevin Hart tickets today and tomorrow. Two final days to win the Kevin Hart tickets on our program. And he's going to be in town this weekend, perhaps in town as soon as right now. So, Kevin, if you're listening, welcome back to Philadelphia. Hello, buddy, and call into the show sometime when you get a chance. By the way, if someone knows Kevin Hart, you know, get him to call in the show. I'm sure somebody listening went to high school with him or something. Someone knows Kevin Hart. Get him on the program, please. So he's going to be...
You going to tell him how you think he's a little much, or...
Well, I don't think he should have rushed the stage when Nick Foles just won the Super Bowl and he thought it was his place.
He was feeling it a little bit.
He was feeling it a little bit. I mean, Howie Roseman didn't even get to talk up there at the podium. Kevin Hart thought he should be at the podium. And by the way, Carson should have been acknowledged, even though you guys know, I think eventually with Carson, it became...
Carson on the podium, though.
But Carson didn't... No one said, hey... Shout out to Carson. Without him, we're not here. Someone should have said it.
You're right.
Someone no one said it, man. No
maybe
one.
Maybe that led to the whole thing.
It
the
was.
Whole,
it was.
Like, you know,
Lori. Here's who
rushing
spoke.
Rushing back Lori, and the jealousy.
Lori spoke. Doug spoke. Nick spoke. No one said. Without this guy, we're not here. Should have been said. Being honest with you,
I agree with you. It should have been.
Should have been said. And Howie should have gotten a chance to talk. It's bogus. The GM never
that
gets a
too,
shot.
I agree.
They always go owner, coach, MVP. Mm. Owner. I mean, GM constructs the team.
Leave it to you to find a complaint about who got to speak as they're holding up. Right. At that point, I didn't care.
But I'm still fundamentally interested in someone that knows Kevin Hart. Get him on the program. All right, here's the deal.
That would be really cool.
It would be cool.
He's hilarious. I see him a lot. It does seem like he's interested in a lot of our teams.
Totally.
Like, why? We should talk to
him. And he did the Tom Brady roast. I mean, you know, he's a major national, I guess, international star.
He's a huge deal, and he's Philadelphian.
And someone listening right now knows him. So get to work, lady or gentleman. Someone get to work. Help us out. All right? Remember this. In the words of Kennedy, ask not what your radio station can do for you. Ask what you can do for your radio station.
There it is.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Actually,
so get to work. Right. That's the slogan of the show to our audience today. Get to work.
Do you guys know where that slogan came from? Because Kennedy did not just think it up on his own. Do you know the backstory?
I don't.
John?
No.
It was the head of his high school. I think it was Choate.
Oh, I have heard this
ask
before.
Not,
yeah.
Ask not what Choate can do for you.
I've heard this before.
Ask what
you
can do for you.
Choate.
Yeah, one of those.
Repurposed that pretty well, didn't he?
I think it was Choate. It was one of those boarding schools up in New England. All right, here's
He's
the deal.
He's definitely a Choate
when
kind
you,
of guy.
When you, call, when you call in today.
Is that a real word?
Yes,
of
no,
a,
it's a school. Choate is like one of the best boarding schools in the country.
Yeah. Choate sounds dirty.
C-H-O-A-T-E, I believe, yeah.
Do you want to discuss what aspect of it sounds dirty? Do you want to take that further?
No.
Okay. Just I didn't know.
Yeah, you did.
Not that
kinda,
I thought it
like,
through.
I didn't know if you wanted
I'm
to do a
aware.
Deep dive
yeah,
on that
what does
one.
It sound like?
You I'm know? Pretty aware of the word.
All right, here's the deal, guys. When you call in today, it's shot to win the tickets. They are available still at Ticketmaster.com. This is a Kevin Hart show coming up on Sunday. Here's the deal. Here's how you can win them today. In honor of Dickerson, who was a sensational back, and we look forward to talking to him in 3 hours, give us today, as he was very, you know, known for the goggle thing. Who has been known through years, dead or alive, identified with a certain something? Can be an item of clothing, but it could be something else. Like, I'd say Michael Jordan in the tongue. Identify, I mean, I guess you can say Gene Simmons in his tongue also.
I was about to say that, yeah,
right.
For sure.
So, two with the tongue, but that's probably it as far as I know. But Jordan in the tongue was a classic. Give us someone and something that they are really identified by. So many ways you can go with this. 215-592-9494. Doesn't have to just be clothing or body part. Can be something else. John Ritchie, when you think of someone and something they're identified with, like Dickerson and those goggles, what comes to mind for you?
Real life, Al Davis.
Yep.
The scent that he wore.
You brought this up before. Wow.
Every time he would come onto the practice field, and it was from two fields away, Lincoln Kennedy, our offensive tackle, would start singing, Hakorade! there. And it was
I'm sure he appreciated that.
And everyone knew what that meant. Like you could smell Mr. Davis wafting from two fields.
Well, that's not away. Good. That's not
but
good.
But it was a pleasing scent.
Okay.
It was a powerful scent.
Okay.
It was extremely identifiable.
Wow.
But you always knew
okay.
he was coming. You always knew it was him.
I like it.
And
I like it.
It was a pleasing sense.
Seltzer, give me an answer. Someone is something. Real life, not the world of fiction, but real life. Someone is identified with
something. I'm going to go with the royal someone, someones.
Yep.
We're all doing it tonight. We're all rooting for the Packers. Packers fans and their cheesehead thing.
Oh, for sure.
Ooh, I like that.
That's a really good answer. I mean, they're the only ones known for that. Rhea, what do you got here as an answer?
I just watched Darkest Hour the other day about Winston Churchill, the hat.
Yeah, sure.
It's so iconic.
Yeah, no, and there's a couple people that could go with various types of hats. All right, Churchill and the hat. All right, give us a great answer. Someone known for something that's an identification piece, if you will. 215-592-9494. Dan in Philadelphia right now. Dan, good morning.
Embiid is ass.
you're going right out of the Shady McCoy line of getting to the point.
Why in the world would the Sixers sign him? To an extension, knowing all this. And if they didn't know all this, then somebody should be fired.
Oh, like there's no question about that.
A doctor should be loses his license or something.
No, I hear you.
Here's the thing is, Kyle Newbeck posted something yesterday that he had spoken to people, like five or six doctors supposedly looked at his knee. I'm having a tough time with that one.
I agree.
Like, because you know what they always say, three out of four dentists, you know, there had to be one person who went, I'm not sure about this.
Yep.
Now, other than a money grab for tickets, like I always say the Sixers are, make it make sense to me because it doesn't.
Well, I agree.
They
I mean, look,
season ticket holders to buy because they think he's going to play.
Yep.
And they got a whole season out of him, and he's not going to play.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I can tell you is, I mean, theoretically, there could be an injury, even though they deny it in the 1 month. You know, roughly 1 month after the signing and before the season, but that seems hard to believe. Not impossible, but hard to believe.
I agree. Yeah. As for the Eagles, I think this team's much, much better. You mentioned Slay and Bradberry. I mean, not to put them down, they were good that season, but what do we have, 70 sacks? So it's really not hard to, you know, you're not looking at the ball that much, knowing that the quarter, and who knows how many pressures at that point as well. So that front was getting to the quarterback before they could even throw it, plus the young quarterbacks. This team all around, Jalen's playing not a lot better because he was the core of that offense at that point. But our receivers are outstanding at this point, 2,000-yard seasons. Now you have a MVP candidate running back, and now you in your defense.
How about the quarterback, Dan? Give me, because I think this is one of the bigger factors why I say 2022. I thought he was better then. How do you size that up, then versus now?
I think he had to do more. So, you know, obviously he was a lot
That's
better.
That's true.
But he's good. He's really good this season. I mean, he shouldn't have to do more than he has to if he doesn't have to. Right?
Yeah, to this point, he has not. That is correct.
All right, Dan, if you don't have to, why do it? So
yeah, all right, Dan, give me a great answer. Someone's identified for something. What do you got?
I have an answer, Joe, but you and your Tubbs.
Come on.
Joe and his Tubbs actually a good answer.
Oh, I thought he said my cousin.
Joe and Judy. I was going to say Joe and Judy.
I thought he said my cousin.
Then he switched to the tub.
No,
I said.
I didn't.
Oh, my ears didn't work.
I'm in your head, Joe. I'm in your head, brother.
He kind of gave Judy.
Me and the tub. All right, I like it. So it's true.
I like it.
Well, Judy is true?
Well, I am known for me and Judy because freaking Dan always brings it up. Me and the tub, though, is a better answer. So I was in the tub last night, or maybe it was in the afternoon.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, I've been on a bath kick.
What do you mean? Way.
This is not surprising. It got cold out. I could have predicted
correct.
This. I knew there would be an uptick in the
I would
baths.
Say on the daily for about the last week and a half.
Okay. Oh, daily. You.
Every day?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're pampering yourself
every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day.
With a bath. How long is the bath?
Oh, it varies. Oh, I mean, yesterday I fell asleep for 20. let me get this right. For 22 minutes, I fell asleep.
What a life.
How do you know 22 minutes?
I try to track how much
minutes,
I slept. Sleep.
22.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, no. Like on your watch or something? Okay.
It's on my phone. I just look at the phone right before I'm about to doze, and then
you
I know
knew
I...
You were going
to
go to... You're like, you know what?
I knew it was it's within
coming.
60 seconds.
It's coming.
Yeah, exactly. And so 22 minutes. Put the book aside, put the phone aside. And it's, my fear has always been, what if I ever have like a seizure there, and then I could die?
Yeah.
So I take that chance, but, you know.
Yeah,
no, I do.
Just get out
James,
of the
I think about
what
it,
a warrior
Stop
you are.
It's probably not...
It's so anyone hard. Who lives alone and takes a bath.
No, I know, but... It's less inclined to happen to the person who's not asleep.
That's not true. You think a seizure is more likely if you're sleeping than if you're awake?
I think I have a better chance to get out of the bathtub in a seizure when I'm awake than when I'm asleep.
Why are you taking a bath every day, man?
Have you ever had a seizure?
No, I haven't had a seizure.
So what are you even thinking about?
Well, I mean, I'd rather be awake than not awake. Would you not? You'd rather be asleep?
I've never thought about having a seizure in a bathtub.
Well, I do, because I take bathtubs. I go to sleep.
Why would you even think
guys,
about
Elvis died
a
on because Elvis because Elvis died on the can. I don't want to be that.
No, he had some underlying issues.
He did. Yes, but I mean, you're not.
But you are not.
But reimagine the Delaware Valley's reaction. It'll be half sad and half look at that horse's ass. If I die in my bathtub,
well, we expect it's going to be in the bathtub or the bidet.
I
feel
like Ben Davis might celebrate it if I die in the bathtub.
Getting in it so much.
All right, 215-592-9494.
You know what's hard to drown in? The shower. Just saying.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let me play some audio for you of Nolan Smith. He said
something. Watch like an adult, man.
Nolan Smith said something yesterday. I thought it was a cool perspective related to Brandon Graham, related to himself, related to some of the guys up front. Obviously, the pass rush has been much better lately. Here's Nolan Smith yesterday.
Do you feel any more pressure with Brandon out? Brandon Graham up for us here.
No, I don't feel no pressure. I feel more of a... attack, more of a do it for him. I know people thought in the Baltimore game I was playing at the end, but no, I was for real. Like, everything from now on we doing for BG, because I was once that senior that left out and I couldn't do nothing but cheer the guys on, and I know how that felt, and I don't never want that on nobody, because like it really do hurt.
I like it, John.
Okay.
You know, it's got that rallying cry element, which when you can tap into one of them, that's a good thing.
I guess he's trying. I would love to just see great production. The problem
well,
here
you can't
is you
dog him for that comment.
Wisdom.
I mean, it's a nice little thing.
It is.
That's all I'm saying.
It's a nice little
comment. Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah,
well, that's actually what I would want to hear.
Richie goes negative.
I'm happy that they're thinking that way. I want them to have this extra motivation. Yeah.
Out there.
And listen,
I'd rather have his experience and leadership.
But he's not out there. Yeah.
All right, so a lot of Phillies fans would like Juan Soto out there. Does not sound like it's going to happen. Let me give you a report from Matt Gelb yesterday. So Matt Gelb put the following on Twitter. He says, Phillies never met with Juan Soto and are not among the teams who have made an offer to the star outfielder.
Sweet.
And we kind of suspected this, James. You had said yesterday they hadn't met with them.
Less than 1%, yeah, that's what I thought.
But you're getting it from a reporter saying...
A Phillies reporter, connected guy, yep.
So, you know, make of it what you will, and certainly you can react. 215-592-94.
Does my theory make sense to you? That they didn't do anything because they knew they weren't getting him and they didn't want to get the fan base excited?
Yes, but here's what I'd be interested to know that we don't know. Is it because they knew Soto didn't want to play in Philadelphia?
Right, or they didn't want to pay the money.
Three choices. They knew we didn't want to be here. Option two, they didn't want to go as high as the $600 million.
Or whatever, yep.
Option three, they didn't think he'd fit their culture.
I don't think that's it.
Possible.
I think it's a 0%.
They need a change in culture.
Joe, I think that's a 0%.
Why do you say zero?
Because I think that they wanted Juan Soto. They just can't afford him. They know they're not getting him. Like,
I don't know about that.
They talked about being in on him earlier, and then when they found out what it was
who talked about it?
We heard all kinds of rumors about them being Olney came on this station and said they're going to be in on Soto. Like, we heard a lot of people say it.
I'll say this. It made a lot of sense on the field, but did Buster Olney know the degree to which they would want to change the locker room clubhouse? He may not have known that. I mean, it made sense.
Again, I think if Juan Soto were willing to come here for a number they wanted to pay, they would pay him.
Well, I'll say this. Bryce Harper, to the best of my knowledge, John, I'm imagine you're going to agree with this. He seems to get what he wants. He wants Realmuto, they get him. He wants Trey Turner, they get him.
Hmm.
If you wanted Juan Soto...
Well, at a certain point, they can't spend just to spend. Like, they spent $50 million. Middleton's like,
listen,
I can't do
guys,
that.
I'm just speculating.
I think Bryce has that kind of power. You can be like, go give Juan Soto $600 million.
Yeah, but James, here's my point. When you say 0%, I think you're going too far.
I think it's 0%. I really do.
I do not.
I don't think it has anything to do with culture. The guy's a winning player. He's played the World Series. He's won a World Series. Like, that's a. I don't think it's anything to do with that.
He's also about to be on his fourth team in 2 years.
Because Washington didn't want to pay him, so they treat him, and San Diego didn't want to pay him, so they
treated
him.
Well, why did San Diego acquire him if they weren't going to pay him a year later?
Because they were trying to win a World Series last year.
Yeah, but they gave up a ton A ton.
But the Padres are aggressive. That's what they do.
Well,
they've been doing this for years.
Stupid
AJ
now.
Preller has been doing this for years. They almost got to the World Series again last year without him.
If the Phillies gave up as much as San Diego did for a guy that, how long was he there? One postseason?
He was there for one postseason.
I mean, that's a disaster.
Again, they're aggressive. They thought they had 2 years with him, and then they decided they weren't going to sign him, so they traded him to the Yankees.
All right. Well, we're putting that on the table. You can react. Obviously, Soto's not going to be here. What do you make of it?